Well, Merry Christmas. I think you can do better than that, I hope. Merry Christmas. Why didn't you do it the first time? We're going to be looking at Matthew. It's actually chapter 1 there on the front of your bulletin. If you don't have the scriptures, if you do, this is the New Testament. It's the very first gospel, the very first history book about Jesus. We're going to read two verses, and then we're going to think about what these verses say and what they mean. Matthew 1, 20 through 21. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, if modern news were a thing in the ancient world, and of course it wasn't, the producer and the news director would have had to decide which angle of this story they were going to cover. And that's if anyone even picked up this story at all. This was a story that took place in a small town. This was an ordinary, common couple. And it took place while there were many other important things happening in that day. So this ordinary couple, they come to Bethlehem. It did not capture the world's attention. There were bigger stories. The Caesar was becoming far more powerful. He was originally named Octavian. You better know him from the scriptures as Caesar Augustus. He had been in power for 27 years. Years when this little baby Jesus was born. And he had come into such power that the Roman Senate, almost in unprecedented fashion, named him father of the country. He came to power after turmoil, and he sustained peace in the wake of the death of Julius Caesar. So if you were to decide to cover this birth, you would have had to cover it from different angles. There's the angle of Mary, Miriam. She's the boy's mother. She has a cousin. Maybe you'd cover her story. Elizabeth, she had a remarkable birth of her son, John. And then there were the shepherds that we heard about from Luke 2. They were the actual eyewitnesses that night of this baby. They had been remarkably visited by angels. And of course, sometimes people cover the story of the innkeeper, who had to tell this couple there was no room for them in his inn. There's four gospels, four biographies of Jesus, and Matthew is the only one that recounts this remarkable angelic visit to Joseph. This is Mary's husband-to-be. Now, we know from other parts of the biographies of Jesus' life that Joseph was a carpenter, and Joseph was not expecting this. And you can tell that Joseph had a very big decision to make. Matthew says, as he considered these things. What were these things? Well, these things were that his betrothed wife, Mary, was found to be with child before they came together. In a culture in which honor and shame were of utmost importance, Joseph did not want to shame her, and so he resolved to divorce his wife to be quietly. He was very nobly concerned for her honor in light of the fact that he thought Mary had committed adultery. It was as he considered these things that an angel of the Lord, who we know to be the highly ranked angel Gabriel, appeared to Joseph and gives him very significant revelation. One of the things I love most about the United Arab Emirates is the unbelievable diversity of cultures in this place and that can come together in one room. So I am aware that when we read about angels, Some of you think about angels very much. They're part of your everyday life. You take the existence of angels for granted. And then there's others of you who, when you think of angels, you think they're nothing more than cute, sentimental creatures that supposedly float around in the sky. A few years ago, when the members of the British Parliament were debating during Brexit, I'm not going to talk about Brexit, but during that time, there were prime ministers being removed from power, one after the other after the other. And one of the members of parliament stood up and said, if they elected the Archangel Gabriel, it still wouldn't satisfy them. I thought it was at least good that Gabriel still has some standing in the Western mind. But when we come to the scriptures, angels are terrifying. They are majestic creatures. You'll notice that when they appear in the scriptures, they have to tell men not to fear. Men who normally aren't afraid when they see them visibly. This angel, this mighty angel, is sent by the Lord of history to this man, Joseph, who has been forced into the most consequential decision of his life. Will he stay with Mary or not? And the angel addresses his question directly. There may have been a proper introduction, but Matthew, the writer, doesn't tell us anything about it. This great angel knows who Joseph is. He is Joseph, son of David. Joseph must understand who he came from, King David himself, that descent mattered for the world. So Joseph was from a royal family line, even though he was extremely ordinary. And that changed everything. None of this would have mattered in that day to the Roman Empire, but notice the angel did not appear to the Caesar. The angel did not appear to some other powerful figure. Rome would not determine the ultimate significance of what happened that night with Mary and Joseph and this child. So why should Joseph not divorce Mary, but take her as his wife? Well, the angel makes it clear. That which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. So the child has an earthly royal lineage, son of David, and a heavenly one, son of God. In just four verses, we see twice that the child is from the Holy Spirit. That was the revelation that Joseph needed to understand Mary had not been unfaithful. Now, just to be clear, the scriptures are clear that Mary had not, as some have understood, been intimate with anyone in any way. Far from it. Her faith and faithfulness had caused her to be highly favored, such that she was given this unique task. And so the reason that the angel announced this birth is because this birth was no ordinary birth. What the angel revealed, what we need to understand, is that this child that was coming into the human race was not ultimately from the human race. It's interesting how the angel makes the case to Joseph. The ultimate reason Joseph is not to fear taking pregnant Mary as his wife hinges on the identity of the child conceived of the Holy Spirit. So this is a consequential moment. The very first Christmas itself was at stake here, and Joseph is being confronted with who this child is. This is a child descended from David, King David, and also born by the power of God. In this child, God and man would meet. Why this identity? I think it's been wisely said that some of the most important things that we can observe are often right in front of our eyes, but we fail to see them. When I think about that, I think about my car keys. I lose them all the time. And then when I find them, they were right there hiding in plain sight. This is a very brief revelation from this angel, but we learn one of the most profound realities of the universe. Uniquely, this baby coming to this very unsuspecting Mary will not come into the human race like every other baby. We also learn that the angel was not just concerned to declare the origins of the child from the line of David by the Holy Spirit, but also his name. The son born to Mary is to be called Jesus, Yeshua. The name means rescuer, savior. Now, this was a common name in the day that Jesus was born. It was common for mothers to name their babies Jesus because of the hope that one day God would send a rescuer, a savior into the world. God's prophets had again and again spoken of this day. But this person coming into the world would be named Jesus not because salvation would come, but because in him salvation was coming. And while it would take the whole of his lifetime to see exactly how he would rescue and deliver, Joseph was given this critical revelation why he could. Because Jesus, the Savior, born of man, born of God, would uniquely be able to do what he came to do. His name will be Jesus, says the angel, for he will save his people from their sins. I think if you look around the world today, there's quite a lot to be concerned about. There's wars, there's conflicts, there's the raising and the falling of empires, there's nations vying for power. There were all kinds of issues in that day as well. But notice what the angel of the Lord says is the central problem in the eyes of heaven: the salvation of people from their sins. Literally, through divine revelation, Joseph is going to move forward with marriage because of who the person is in the womb and the work the person in Mary's womb had come to do. And by faith, that's what he did. We read just a few verses later in Matthew, when Joseph woke, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. There is no way that Joseph could have understood everything that was about to unfold. But by faith, he responded to what he did know. He took his wife. He called his name Jesus. He did not shame her. He did not quietly divorce her when she was in a very vulnerable position, pregnant and unmarried. No, he boldly, in spite of the shame that he would endure from the world, he married Mary. And he named him Jesus. Of all the issues in the world today, the most fundamental, the most problematic, is the entrance and the presence of sin. So deep is this problem that the angel sent to Joseph to tell him this baby came to save people from sin. From sin. Contrary to the wisdom of our world, the most fundamental problems are not out there. They're in here. They're not vague or abstract. It's deeply personal. Now, I think Christmas can become nostalgic, and that is wonderful. I do actually love nostalgia. It can also become sentimental. If you've walked through Spinney's, you can feel the sentimentality. In that grocery store, people celebrate Santa Claus, a strange fat man who can somehow make it to every house on Christmas Eve, and maybe one of the most bizarre, a reindeer with a red nose. If you saw a reindeer with a red nose, I think you would probably freak out. The world has made Christmas very fun, and it is an incredible season. At least it gets cooler here. But we know too well that the joy of this world's Christmas is passing. If you would listen to this angel speaks of a profound joy, a joy that I am convinced is right in front of our eyes that we easily overlook. For Joseph, for the world, the mysterious coming of Jesus into the world means that God takes joy seriously. More seriously than we do, because Jesus came to save people from their sins. As a human race, for all of our differences, and they are many, we do have this in common. Together, we have sought to rob God of glory that is His due. We've sought glory for ourselves. We have turned inward. We have plunged ourselves into spiritual death under the power of sin. And God, being God, could have condemned us. He does not need us. He does not owe us anything. And the very God that we have shaken our fist at could have simply left the world to judgment and have been good. But instead, He worked for centuries to prepare the world, ultimately Joseph, for Jesus, whose unique task, the angel said, was to save. And given how deep our problem goes, it should not surprise us that the way that He saved was surprising as well. This baby, mysteriously, staggeringly, born in a manger, born in the flesh, came to go to, of all places, the cross. The very place of human weakness and shame and foolishness. And He went there to put on display the wisdom and the strength of God as He took the judgment of God for human beings on Himself to do just what the angel said He would do. Save people from their sins. When Joseph heard the news of who the baby was, he went forward in faith. He went forward in spite of the shame, and he took Mary to be his wife. And when it became clear to Jesus that he would face the agony of the cross, he went forward to save his people in spite of the shame. He went to the lowly cross. And why did he do it? He did it for joy. For joy set before him, that we who have fallen short of God's glories, who were meant to know God and enjoy God as image bearers of God, would taste joys we cannot fathom. And yet, remarkably, the central claim of the Christian faith is that Jesus Christ did not stay dead. He was raised from the dead, historically, publicly, powerfully. God raised him up to prove to the world he had accomplished salvation. His sacrifice had been accepted. Through the cross and the resurrection, the one who came to save sinners did precisely that, such that there is no other sacrifice needed. Nothing can add to what Jesus accomplished. Nothing can take away from it. And what is remarkable is that instead of, after all of that, Jesus saying to us, come and work, come and earn this salvation, He calls you to believe. Simply trust Him. Turn away from any effort you would make to save yourself and turn to Him in trust. It's our nature to work for salvation. We do this through religious systems. We try to do a lot of good deeds. We try to be a good person, or we create a community and we try to keep the standards of that community. But the cross says to the world, no, no to all human effort. It tells us wonderfully, we're much worse than we imagined, but Jesus has won a salvation that is far better than we would ever dare dream. Friends, Christmas is ultimately about joy. Joy. Because this baby born in that manger was sent to do what the Roman Empire could not do, what the Caesar could not do, what no one and nothing could do. to save real people who have committed real sin against the real God. When you give an account for your life, the only reason God will accept any of us is because of Jesus. The baby born in Mary's womb came into the world on a rescue mission, born of man, born of God, because only by being born of both could he rescue sinners. The scandal of Christmas is the baby born in the manger who would die on the cross can bring righteousness as a gift to all who trust him. Now, whether you've heard that message many times or whether it's the first time, I pray that it's not just something you know, but something that transforms your heart. For his own part, Joseph heard what he was to do, and he believed. We live on the other side of the birth and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And the message not now is not salvation is coming, but in Jesus is come. It is accomplished. The good news of sinners set free is announced to the world. It is joy to the world. Joy as far as the curse is found. This is what makes Christmas merry. So Merry Christmas. In the most unexpected way, joy has come into our world.